Here's what's coming up in the Category5.tv newsroom. The Samsung Group heir arrested last year in a corruption scandal in South Korea has been set free. That didn't take long. Someone has hacked Amazon Key, the lock that allows delivery drivers to open your front door and leave your packages inside. LiDAR has once again unveiled the Lost City, this time with over 60,000 Mayan houses in it.
Wow.
UNICEF is turning to gamers in order to raise money through cryptocurrency mining. Stick around. The full details are coming up later in the show.
Whether you shop on ThinkGeek, GearBest, B&H Photo Video, eBay, or Amazon, or even if you want a free trial of Audible, you'll find the best deals and support the shows we produce by simply visiting the shopping sites you already frequent by using the links on our website. Visit category5.tv/partners for the full and ever-growing list and help us create more free content like this show. Thank you for shopping with our partners, and thank you for watching.
This is the Category5.tv newsroom, covering the week's top tech stories with a slight Linux bias.
I'm Sasha Rickman, and here are the top stories we're following this week. A South Korean appeals court has freed Samsung Group heir Lee Jae-young and has reduced his 5-year jail term, dismissing a number of charges against him in the corruption scandal. Lee, the vice chairman of the Samsung Electronics, was handed a suspended sentence of 2.5 years by the Seoul High Court on Monday after nearly a year in detention, Seoul Korea's Yonhap News Agency reported. The billionaire was convicted in August last year of bribing the country's then-president, Park Geun-hye, with $8.2 million in return for government backing of a business merger. The 49-year-old was also found guilty of embezzlement, hiding assets overseas, concealing profits from criminal acts, and perjury. The case led to months of mass protests and Park's eventual impeachment in December of 2016. A verdict in her case is expected in the next couple of months. Liberal politician Moon Jae-in was elected the new president in May. Wow. So how is the government and Samsung in cahoots? Like, how does that happen?
You have to imagine, like, Samsung is this massive, massive company when it comes to South Korea.
Yes.
So, I mean, one of the biggest electronics manufacturers in the world, and will do a lot, perhaps under the table, to maintain that.
I mean, this goes, it doesn't matter what country you're in, this kind of stuff happens. I mean, you look at even Canada.
This is just grand scale. So it stands out because, like, we're talking lots of money happening behind the scenes and being embezzled through a child.
Yeah, so, I mean, there was a lot of, you know, improper stuff taking place. But, I mean, it happens in every country. I mean, you look like Canada, you've got these big major companies. They carry a lot of political weight with the politicians if they go, hey, look, you don't do this.
Yeah, sure.
We're going to pull out of the country. I mean, look at the way that with Amazon's second building.
That's,
you know, how
raised a lot of
Yeah, there's like the last 20 cities that have been like shortlisted in Toronto is the only Canadian city on the list. And so, I mean, Toronto's like, hey, we'll bend over backwards any way we can to get you here because that's huge.
Sure.
So, I mean, this kind of political interference happens worldwide, but this was on a nasty scale.
This is different, though, because this is a case where Samsung, if you will, or through Lee, was giving money underhandedly to, and who knows where it was going, I don't know, but like to have a massive amount of money going through the president's friend's daughter's equestrian career.
Right. And just kind of...
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I guess it happens everywhere, like, but every once in a while you get caught and it's huge.
Yeah, so if you're embezzling billions of dollars...
Don't be doing
stop.
That.
Stop. Yeah. Yeah, good idea.
That didn't take long. Someone has hacked the Amazon Key, the lock that allows delivery drivers to open your front door and leave your packages inside. The key is an electrified lock designed to be disabled using a one-time code a facility that makes it possible for delivery workers to drop stuff off at the homes and businesses of Amazon Prime members. Prime members receive the gear they ordered from Amazon without having to hang around all day. Amazon gets sales it might not otherwise have made, and delivery staff get recorded by a Wi-Fi connected video camera to make sure that they don't steal the family silver. The devices have already been shown to have one nasty flaw when Rhino Security Labs found a way to flood the camera with junk packets to stop it recording. Now, a hacker who calls himself MG has demonstrated another attack on the key, which allows access to doors locked by the key even after a delivery worker's one-time code has been used. It's unclear exactly how the exploit works, but in a video posted on MG's Twitter account, we can see it relied upon a Dropbox, a computer of some sort with Wi-Fi connectivity that is able to control the key. The Dropbox can both unlock the key or somehow leave Amazon's device incapable of recognizing that it's time to lock itself again. Wow, that really didn't take long.
We were talking about this like a conspiracy theory just a couple of weeks ago. Like, right. This could happen.
Right.
And it already has.
So this was an ethical hacker that found the exploit.
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, I would make that judgment call because of the way he presented it. So on Twitter, he showed this can be done. Right. But then he showed how it can be done to Amazon.
Right.
Right.
Okay. So... yeah, it can be done. And incidentally, it turned out it was a Raspberry Pi microcomputer that he used to...
No way!
Yeah, so...
That's awesome.
So you've seen the Raspberry Pi. It's just a little microcomputer.
It's very small.
So, but I think because of the way he presented it to Amazon, here's how... And they're already working on a fix.
Right.
And, you know, they're downplaying it a little bit. But at the same time,
Of course.
It's scary that it already has happened. Have there been criminal cases?
That it can
cases?
Be happened.
That's true. Have there been criminal incidences at this point?
Well, not yet with the key, because this is a brand new thing,
yeah,
right?
So new.
Yeah, but I do remember a couple of years ago, what was it? It was at DEF CON in 2015 that one of the hackers there showed a device that could open pretty much any garage door.
Oh, yeah.
You remember
that?
And then 2 weeks, no, two months later or something like that, somebody who was at DEF CON took that information, built their own, and... stole a bunch of cars from locked garages.
Fairly certain I saw that in 60 seconds.
Kind of thing.
I still
so
want
it does happen.
Quickly just give my idea once again to Amazon on how to fix this. A good secure like metal box that gets like drilled to the outside of a house. Same idea with a key code,
sure.
Right? But you don't enter a house.
The only thing that they could get away with if they hacked it is the thing that was delivered.
Exactly, not access to an entire house.
And we got talking about that previously and how we used to have the milk doors in houses and stuff. Mm-hmm. You'd open the milk door and the milkman would put in the milk bottles. Right?
We have one on the back of our house. It's very cool.
There you go. So yeah. If there was something like that for Amazon... if you were a frequent shopper, maybe it's worth your while to install something like that in your house.
Right. Yeah.
And you want to make sure it's big enough. I mean, the amount of packages I've ordered from Amazon,
they're
not all just little boxes.
Right. But
giant boxes like this.
For the most part.
Yeah.
All right. National Geographic has reported that laser-touting archaeologists have discovered an entire Mayan city in the Central American jungle that has been lost for hundreds of years. From the report in what's being hailed as a major breakthrough in Maya archaeology, researchers have identified the ruins of more than 60,000 houses, palaces, elevated highways, and other human-made features that have been hidden for centuries under the jungles of northern Guatemala.
Wow.
Amazing. Using a revolutionary technology known as LIDAR, short for light detection and ranging, scholars digitally removed the tree canopy from aerial images of the now unpopulated landscape, revealing the ruins of a sprawling pre-Columbian civilization that was far more complex and interconnected than most Maya specialists had supposed. Here's New York Times best-selling author Douglas Preston in an interview last year on Category 5 Technology TV to explain how LIDAR works.
Well, the radar technology was, they were using radar as a way to try to penetrate and see through the jungle foliage. But LIDAR doesn't do that. The LIDAR plane which was used, was brought down from the University of Houston, the National Center for Airborne Laser Mapping. And it has a million-dollar LiDAR machine in it, which, by the way, was built in, wow, in Toronto.
Nice.
And this machine, when flown over the jungle, a canopy, fires 125,000 laser pulses a second down into the canopy. And then it measures the reflections. And the laser really? Doesn't penetrate anything. It just bounces off a leaf or a twig or whatever. But even in the thickest jungle, there are holes in the canopy. I mean, if you go into the thickest jungle and lie down on your back and look up at the sky, you will see bits and pieces of blue sky.
Okay.
The billions and billions of laser beams being fired into the jungle canopy find those holes, and some of them reach the ground, bounce off the ground, and come back up. And so what you get is a what the scientists call a point cloud, which is an incredible three-dimensional image of the rainforest. With every little reflection, every pixel is a reflection off a leaf or twig.
Okay.
And then using software, you can remove all those reflections from the trees, leaving just the ground reflections, and voila, there you have a map of the ground in quite high resolution. The resolution is about 1 meter.
With this more recent expedition, Thomas Garrison, an Ithaca College archaeologist and National Geographic explorer who specializes in using digital technology for archaeological research, says the LIDAR images make it clear that this entire region was a settlement system whose scale and population density have been grossly underestimated. Garrison is part of a consortium of researchers who are participating in the project, which was spearheaded by the Pacanum Foundation, a Guatemalan nonprofit that fosters scientific research, sustainable development, and cultural heritage preservation. The project mapped more than 800 square miles of the Mayan Biosphere Reserve in Guatemala, producing the largest LIDAR data set ever obtained for archaeological research. Okay. I love this story for two reasons. One, I spent an entire summer in Guatemala.
Oh, yeah?
So Guatemala is very near and dear to my heart. I did visit a lot of the ruins. I did a lot of humanitarian work there between grade 9 and grade 10, so we're talking many, many years ago. But to this day, I still think about Guatemala. Anytime there's a story about Guatemala, it's like I said, it's near and dear to my heart. But also because it's LIDAR. The interview we did about the lost city of the Monkey God.
Yeah.
Where LIDAR technology was used at another situation. That is by far the best interview I think we've ever done. I think about it all the time. I love the book. I love the concept of it. I see LIDAR in the news, and I'm like, ah, LIDAR!
Yeah.
So this story just, I mean, gets my juices flowing. It's so cool. I love it.
In that interview, so you can go to our website, category5.tv, search for LIDAR, L-I-D-A-R, and in that interview, he talked about some of the other uses for LIDAR,
mm-hmm,
and it's interesting to know how this works and so realizing cool. It's being used for autonomous vehicles
so that
they can detect where cars are and things like that. So there are other uses for it as well, but being able to see from an airplane down into the Guatemalan jungle and find something like that is huge.
Oh, it's amazing. And I mean, I can't wait to see over the next 10, 15, 20 years, how many other lost civilizations or series of new information we get about various civilizations that have been lost to us, where we're going, this has rewritten the book. Like, I think it's so cool. I know I get excited about technology, but for some reason, this one is just like,
Oh, absolutely. I love it. One question that's coming is wondering if LIDAR can be used to see through the ruins into like things like buried treasure. And I believe that that it's only possible to see the topography and those kinds of things. Like it maps the topography, but not, it doesn't go through things. Now leaf cover is a different thing altogether because it's, you know, it's thin, I guess.
I guess when you're in the trees and you look up, you can see some sky. So it's kind of doing the
maybe
opposite,
that's it.
Right.
It's like triangulating through the leaves.
Well, yeah, because I mean like the whole LIDAR, it's sending like millions of laser signals at different angles as the plane flies over, helicopter, whatever they're using. But it is a good question about like underneath the ground, because I'm thinking, what's buried in like the Sahara Desert that we don't know about?
Oh, yeah.
And could we find something there? So it'd be interesting to see if LIDAR technology or some version thereof can advance to the point where you are able to see through it.
Well, if LIDAR was to be combined with other technologies, X-ray technologies, and so that when something is found, now all of a sudden it can go vroom, right down into the ground and take a image of inside the ground. I have no idea if that's possible. In my mind, it's possible because I've seen a lot of sci-fi.
What I love is that here we are in the world and there's still so many undiscovered places.
Yeah, like absolutely. To think that it's cool. It's been undiscovered, but yet is so obviously built up.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge, huge.
Yeah, very cool. It was just October when the co-founder of UNICEF Ventures, Chris Fabian, said the company would not shy away from experimenting with cryptocurrency and the surrounding tech. And now UNICEF is asking gamers to install mining software to raise money to help Syrian children.
Huh.
UNICEF has launched Game Changers in an effort to bring together gamers from across the globe and to have them unite their computing power for a good cause. The promo says, to participate in this operation, all you need to do is install Claymore, a mining software. The Game Changers website reads, you'll be able to start or stop mining when you want and generate Ethereum right in UNICEF's electronic wallet. Game Changers mining efforts will continue until March 31st, and you can find out more by visiting changers.io. That's Changers, spelled C-H-A-I-N-G-E-R-S.
That's cool, and it reminds me of what we are currently doing as well here at Category 5 TV, because we have that capability as well now, where you can put our wallet in with Claymore or another mining software and be contributing to us. So for now, do UNICEF, and then when they're done on March 31st, you can come back and change the wallet ID to ours.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a great cause. And at first when I heard this, I'm going, why would you put an end to it? Why wouldn't you just keep going? But by having an end date, it kind of, to a certain degree, creates a bit of a psychological urgency. It's like, well, I got to do this now because I want to have it in by March 31st. So there's more likely to be a greater uptake on gamers putting that processing power into it.
But knowing how difficult it is to mine a single coin, a single Ethereum coin, for example, even the blocks thereof, wouldn't it make sense to just say, you know, for the next year? Because then we might end up with something. I don't know yet. I'm very curious as things grow with our cryptocurrency accounts, how long does it take to actually... I can't imagine that in 1 month you're going to see a lot of currency generated.
If it's a video game that makes this happen...
No, it's Claymore.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So.
But a video gaming computer. Like
which is much more powerful than
very
a standard
powerful.
Desktop.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. That's why.
And the question comes in, and I saw this question. I'm sorry, I didn't catch the name. It just flashed by just before the show. But could you use older hardware to do this so that we could support Category 5? Mm-hmm. And the fact is it's very GPU intensive.
Yeah.
So not CPU, but GPU. So that graphics processor, the 1070 that you put in your gaming computer, that's what you need. If you have a Raspberry Pi, I'm sorry, it's not going to work. Even if you stack 200 of them together, there's no GPU power there, so you're just not going to be able to mine anything. It's just going to sit there running all the time and never get any currency.
Right.
So if you have a gaming computer, that's where now installing Claymore or another mining application, putting in the wallet ID, and then generating currency through the GPU while it's otherwise doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's cool about it. And that's what they mean by, hey, you can turn it off when I want to use the computer. I don't want to doing stuff with my GPU because that's going to slow things down. So I'll turn that off and then do my thing and then turn it back on again.
Yep.
And that's going to generate revenue for UNICEF, Category 5, or however you're going to do it. So, cool stuff.
If you got a gaming computer, get out there. Help out UNICEF. All right. Big thanks this week to Roy W. Nash and the Albuquerque Turkey and our community of viewers for submitting stories to us this week. Thanks for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Jeff Weston.
And I'm Robbie Ferguson.
I am Sasha Rickman.